I had the privilege to be up in Vancouver, Washington for last week for a healing conference, and we had a tremendous time. Many people are healed today in this country. If you hear anything else, that is wrong. Yeah? One amen? No, thank you. So that is exactly as Bob said. You can expect Jesus to be the same. We say that all the time, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is. But something in our culture also make it, we don't expect him to be that. We say with our mouth, yes, he is the same, but we don't expect him to come to our meeting. But actually, he is here. If you saw him sitting here, I'm sure that your heart will go boom, boom, boom. Yeah? You will have expectation that he will touch you. But he promised, I will be with you. Wherever two or three come together in my name, I will be there. So he is actually here. Amen? So let's welcome him again. Jesus Christ, we praise your name over and over again because your name is far above every other name. We welcome you into our meeting. We welcome you into our life. Help us, Holy Spirit, to open our hearts. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So we have seen God's miracles wherever we go, and that is something that really gives you the fire in your heart. When you see how God is touching people wherever you go, the name of Jesus is the same all over the world. You can go to some wilderness in the jungle of Papua New Guinea, and you see the name of Jesus touching people. And he is the same here also in this area, Temecula, Murrieta. Hallelujah. Sometimes we are just living for the short time we have here. The next week, that is our focus. And our time schedule is so rushed up that we forget to live close to Jesus. But you and I, we are called to have a fellowship with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9 tells us we all are called to have close fellowship with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but if you have close fellowship with someone, that means that you meet that person very often. Every day. Speak to that person, but also listen to that person. Amen? That is what we are called to have, that kind of close relationship with Jesus. How can I have that? Through prayer? Of course. By speaking to him. He's not far away. You don't have to have some kind of spiritual voice. Oh, holy, holy. You try to behave like some kind of a saint. No. He's your friend. He's your brother. Amen? He is your Savior, but he is also your brother. He has prepared everything for us to have a close fellowship. He's the best friend you ever can have. One of the biggest curses of this world is loneliness. But when we come to Jesus, we will never, ever be lonely because he is with me. He has given us the Holy Spirit to live in me. 24 hours a day, he lives in me. So you can always check with the Holy Spirit. Show me, Holy Spirit, show me the way. In Mark 5, we take Mark 4 first. My brain is filled with scriptures. I just want to try to follow what the Holy Spirit is guiding me. In Mark 4, from verse 35, there is a story about the disciples going on a trip on the boat. And I read it from verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you do not have faith?" I like this story because it tells us about our life, actually. You receive Jesus in your life, and you step into a new kind of environment. You come into the boat with Jesus, and he says, "Let's go over to the other side." That's your life. We are living here, yes, but we are going to the other side. There is a heaven waiting for us. Sometimes we forget that when we live here, because we're so occupied with all the problems, all the things that happens every day. But let's have also some other perspective of life. He will be with us. He has said, "We shall go to the other side." That means whatever you will meet, whatever circumstance comes against you, he will lead you through that to the other side. There will be windstorms. Some of us experience a lot of windstorms. But there is a way out of that. The question is, how do we relate to Jesus? Is he sleeping in your boat? Or do you have that lively fellowship with him that he will not have time to sleep? Because you have so much to communicate with. You don't have to answer, but we all ought to question ourselves that question, because that is what life is really about. How do I relate to Jesus? What place does he have in my life? Maybe I'm just crying out to Jesus when the windstorm comes. Oh, help me, Jesus, help me. And when it's calm, water line, sun is shining, California weather. Oh, I don't need Jesus, perhaps. Yes, you do. You need him more than ever, my friend. So that is a decision. It's not a feeling. We need Jesus every day. He will be the change. He will be the difference in my life. You know, remember that old song? Jesus is the answer for our world today. He is still. The question is, where are we in that? Are we taking our life so seriously that we allow him to be a part of my life? I've been a Christian for so many years. Well, next summer I've been saved 50 years. And I've never, ever regretted that step of decision to receive him as my Savior. I've had hardships, I have a lot of windstorms, but God has taken me through that to the other side, and he still will do that. And today, I'm more free than ever, and I know what Jesus have planned for me, he will be able to put me into that situation where I can do that. And that is something someone here needs to hear. Sometimes we don't have that perspective, but we feel that nothing have happened in 1 year, so we have panic. Do not panic. God is able to do more, exceedingly more, abundantly more than we even can think or pray. Amen? So he is mighty enough to bring you to that place he wants you to be. Already in 1983, I was in Los Angeles on a full gospel business breakfast, and they heard that we came from Sweden, so I was up on the platform and made some testimonies, and After that, a person came to me and prophesied over my life and spoke things that was only between me and God. So I know this is a holy place. Just now, God will say something. And he spoke about my future. He spoke about what I will do, that I will travel around the world, many, many countries, and see a lot of miracles and healings. And he wanted me to go with this message of healing and deliverance and restorement to people. And you know, the numbers of miracles was so high, so my brain could not comprehend it. My brain, my intellect could not be efficient to take care of this, but my heart took it. But I asked the Lord several times a year, how, Lord, how? How shall this be possible? But I didn't have any answer. The years went by. I was a preacher. I became a local pastor. I went to mission field. And saw a bunch of miracles, yes, all the time. But this prophecy, it came again, and I was wondering, Lord, what did you mean? 1993, another person came and prophesied on my life exactly the same. Now almost 30 years have went by. But this year, I said to my wife several times, today I'm living that prophecy. We see miracles all over the world. When I was 25, I knew every answer on every question. Soon I'm 62, and I know that I don't know so much. I know that I cannot do any miracles. I know that Lord, our Lord Jesus, he is the miracle man. He is the healer. Many times when we see the miracles, I'm almost like a spectator. I said to Pastor Bob that I feel like I'm like a postman. I deliver just what the Holy Spirit says. But you don't thank the postman. Oh, thank you so much for delivering this check to me. No, he just do what he's supposed to do. That is the same with us preachers. We just deliver what God shows to us. So we don't have to lift up the preachers above measure. Yes, we can respect them. But, you know, he is the one. He is the one that we shall lift up. His name. And he's not interested to share his glory with anyone of us. So that's why we just give him the glory. Hallelujah. This will not be a very deep Bible study. I'm sorry if you came with that wish. That's another kind of meaning. I want to inspire you to see that Jesus Christ is the same. If we just go to Matthew chapter 4. One of many places where some verses give the conclusion of what Jesus did here on earth. Verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Hallelujah. You see that through the Gospels all the time. Actually, you cannot find one single place where a person came to Jesus to be healed but had to leave without being healed. And that gives us something to meditate over. How come that in our Christian fellowships today, we are not living out the same power? Because Jesus said, whatever I have done, you shall do the same, and even greater than this, because I will go to my Father. So he gives something, delegates something to his disciples. So when we try to follow Jesus, and we preach in our churches, but not all churches even pray for sick. I've heard preachers say, no, we don't dare to do that, because if God will not come, then we will have a lot of counseling problems. What kind of faith is that? It's not faith at all. Whatever we do has to be carried by faith. Whatever subject we are talking about in church is grounded and founded by faith. You reach out in faith, not with what you see with your physical eyes, but what you have in your heart. You can take the scriptures, here's 35,000 promises in this book. We can apply them in our lives. Yes, there are conditions almost on every promise, but the promise that Jesus gives us is live. It's life for us today. What do we do about it? How can faith grow in our lives? Not by prayer. I cannot pray for you and you will have greater faith. No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Amen? So we have to listen to the Word. We have to read the Word. God is speaking to you here in His Word. This book is the highest authority you and I can have. And here, there's a fight today in America, in my country, Sweden, in Europe, wherever we go. Because even churches, well, you know, we cannot consider this as the Word of God, always. And then we have problems. Because if this is not the Word from God, we don't know what to put our faith in. And then we go by feelings. We cannot build our life on feelings. Oh, today I really felt for worshiping. Oh, it was a great song. So I really went into worship. Yeah, well, that's good. But we shall worship Him, because it's just obedience. Give Him glory. Even if you're lonely, even if it's cold outside, well, it's never happening in California, but I can tell you that some places on earth is cold. Even the sun is not shining somewhere. Yeah? And my wife and I, we are amazed. Oh, today is sun here. And you don't even reflect on that. It's always sun here in California. It came from Vancouver, it was raining. And it was raining. And there were rain also. Almost like in Sweden. Yeah. So we appreciate your weather. Thank you for welcoming us with this weather. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the same. And that means the consequence of that is He wants to do the same things today. Amen? Do you follow me? Well, don't follow me. Follow Jesus. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fisher of men. That is one of the primary consequences of following Jesus. You will have people following you also. If you shine from the inside of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. Colossians 1 and 27. The hope of glory for whom? Those persons that do not know Jesus. You are walking along with the hope of glory on the inside. And if you have that, it's shown through your life. Not only what you say. You know that old brother Augustinus, he said, I'm doing everything I can to witness about my Savior Jesus Christ. And if it's necessary, I even use words. I love that. Because our lives shall show Jesus. If you're a grumpy person, I have Jesus on the inside. What kind of testimony is that? No. If I have Jesus on the inside, I can be happy whatever the circumstance is. Amen? Because I'm not looking on the circumstance, I'm looking higher. I lift my eyes to Jesus every single day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We will have circumstances, all of us. God is a supernatural God. Amen? You and I can have a supernatural life. He gives us gifts. They are supernatural gifts through the Holy Spirit. It's not your gifts, it's His gifts. But do we have the hunger for them? We need them today more than ever to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. To be the blessing for others. We are blessed, not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing to others. And here comes also the consequence. If we follow Jesus, there will be things following us. Amen? Mia, can I use you? Well, I could pick everyone, but no. Yeah. Obey my... Yeah. In Mark 16, it says, these signs will follow those who believe. Okay. Signs and wonders, that is something we are really interested of. Now, Mia shall be signs and wonders. But many times today, I see that we as Christians, we follow signs and wonders. So you go wrong. I'm following her because I'm so interested of having signs and wonders in my life. So I follow her. But it doesn't say like that. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel of to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And these signs will follow the believer. I follow Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't have even to look behind me because signs and wonders will follow me. Amen? So why worry about that? I just follow Jesus. And signs and wonders will follow me. I cannot escape. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. But it's a good illustration, actually. It will come like a natural fruit if I follow Jesus. It will also come miracles, signs and wonders. It belongs to us. It belongs to the church. Amen? The church should be the best place on earth to see miracles, healings. Hallelujah. But if we come to church without any expectations, it will even be hard for Jesus to do the miracles. I will hit on one point. Why there are not so many miracles in America, in Sweden, in the western part of Europe, but more in Russia, Ukraine, Slovakia, Armenia, India, even the jungle. Why? Why is it that? Because of something in our culture. We are so smart. Have you noticed? Wow. We glorify education. And it's good. All of us have some kind of education. Here in America, you pay a fortune to get your children to get a college degree and everything. In Sweden, that is free. But even so, we glorify that level of education. It's good. I have 20 years in different kind of schools and education, but the best education I have is to learn from my own mistakes. But things around us, when we come to a question about faith, faith is not founded in your intellect. Do you believe that Jesus loves every single person the same? Well, he does. That means that even a person that do not have any degree from university, is he worth the same? Yes, of course. If you have 2 years of education, God can use you the same. Perhaps it's even easier for him to use you. Because sometimes our intellect, it will become a hindrance, an obstacle for God. Because we are reasoning in our mind, oh, this is not possible, actually. We know how gravity is functioning. If I drop these glasses, they will not go up, they will go down. So we know. This is possible, this is not possible. Have you noticed when you read the Bible that so many impossible things is happening? Do we believe them? Well, perhaps Jesus means something else. You know, we read about him walking on water, but that means actually that I don't know what we are doing when we try to make explanations that the miracles was not a miracle, it was something else. It is impossible to walk on water. But Jesus did it anyhow. Well, that was Jesus. Well, in Matthew, I think it's 14. Yes. Matthew 14. Peter is walking on water. You remember that story? Yeah. He was a fisherman. He lived his whole life around this Sea of Genesis. And he knows about water. It's impossible. But here Jesus comes walking on the water. Jesus sent them away. He went up on the mountain to pray. In the middle of the night, he is walking faster than the boat. And they think, well, it's a ghost. No. Lord, is it you? And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. And Jesus says one word, come. So Peter is taking his feet above the edge of the boat, looking at Jesus and walking to him. We use this story to explain the lack of faith that Peter had. But what about the other crowd in the boat? Oh, Peter, you're crazy. They were the one that did not have any faith. Peter actually, he made the step and he was walking on water all the time until he was looking down. The waves coming. And his mind said, oh, what I'm doing. This is impossible. And he was sinking. Jesus, help. And Jesus, take him. Hallelujah. And he pulled him under the water. No, he did not. He lifted him up on the water. Yes? They walked together on water back to the boat. I use my fantasy, imagination. I wonder how the other disciples were thinking, oh, Peter. We can do impossible things. I'm not suggesting that we shall go around walking on water. There is no meaning with that. But we can do impossible things in the name of Jesus when the Holy Spirit shows us what to do. Jesus Christ is the same. Amen. Just from summer in here to here, I could tell you so many stories about healings. In Africa in October, there was a young evangelist in the Bible school. He had broken his arm. That was the only thing I knew. So he could not move his fingers. So this is on Sunday, and we're praying for him. And the Holy Spirit says to me, command the bone structure to come. So I just did that. Bone structure, come into his arm. And during the week after, I heard the story. Because the third day, he said, may I make a testimony? And he said, I was out preaching in the village. They did not receive me. And they had witchcraft, and they put a spell on a hyena. And that hyena was totally wild. It came against me and bit me over the arm and crushed the bones in my arm. So the bones had no connection, so I could not move my fingers. But when you prayed Sunday, the bone structure should come. And now I can testify, he said, and it showed he could move all his fingers. He was totally healed. Well, it doesn't amaze you, but it did amaze me. I can tell you, God is doing miracles today. This summer, I was in Russia, and we went to a place, and suddenly in that meeting, I see a young woman there, about 20, and we make an invitation for salvation, and she comes. Receive Jesus as her Savior. Then the Holy Spirit says, here is someone here that have a big pain over her chest. And this lady comes again. We pray for her, and all pain disappear. Then the Holy Spirit says, someone also have, after an accident, you have spinal problem, and it has been for many years. This girl comes again. We pray for her, and she is totally healed. Then the Holy Spirit says, well, someone have had a severe migraine headache for many years. This young lady comes again. I have to ask her, my dear friend, what's happening with you? And she tells the story. This morning, she said, I felt that I should go on a Christian meeting. I have never, ever been in a church, she said. But I felt forced to go to a meeting. You see, 8 years ago, she was crushed by a car. A car drove over her body. And many things in her body was destroyed. Bone structure, spine. And she had severe migraine headache from that moment. She was just a young girl. Now this morning, God is showing her, go to a Christian meeting. And she remember before she come up to her apartment, in the entrance of the house, there was some kind of small advertisement of this meeting. And she went down to that advertisement and saw that that meeting was just a few blocks from her home. So she went to that meeting. And there, everything is coming to her. God was pulling her to that meeting. God had a sovereign plan for her life. Sometimes you and I, we ask ourselves, how can we reach people? Well, when we miss it, God is pulling people to the meeting. Amen? And her life was totally changed. The next set that we went to, they had made invitations. They also, went to a hospital and took a woman from the hospital to the meeting. She had two open heart surgery. She had a destroyed spine. Her hip was dislocated from birth. And she had Parkinson's disease. So you could say, it's not so very good opportunity for her. But they took her to a church. Then God speaks, For someone to have a dislocated hip and very much pain in your spine, please, can you come? And she had some severe crutches. She came to the front, and she was shivering through Parkinson. And we prayed for her. God healed her totally. Prolonged one of the legs 5 centimeters, like this, 2 inches. All of us saw it. And the shivering stopped. And I said, could you try to walk without sticks? And she started to walk like this. But then she felt, I have no pain. I can move. And she started to dance. And she danced. And she danced. Hallelujah. She danced around for 15 minutes in the church. She was totally healed. Well, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know. But for sure excited me. I can tell you. Jesus Christ is the same. In one meeting in Ukraine, God spoke to me. Because we had a long prayer line. But he said, first, I want you to pray for this lady. She is 50 years of age. And she had a hole in her heart. And I want to make an operation here on the platform that she will be healed. So I speak that out. How can you speak that out? Well, by faith. I'm willing to take a risk. That is what it is. So I speak that out. And the lady way back reached her hand. She looks like around 50. So I invite her to come to prayer line. And she comes to the front and we pray for her. We don't see any result, but in the next week, I make a phone call to that pastor. And he says, well, she just left my office. She went back to that doctor in the hospital on Monday and asked, can you check my heart because I'm healed? And he said, well, I'm sorry, you are not, because I really tried, but I did not succeed. But doctor, yes, I know that you tried, but I'm healed. And he is so interested, so he'd take her in to make a scan. He said, have you had another operation? Well, sort of. Well, I have never seen anything like this, he said. Because you don't have any hole in your heart. I really tried for several hours, but I couldn't. But I made a lot of mess and scars in your heart. But this doctor is amazing, he said. He has almost removed every scar. It's just a fine line where I made the cut. You have to tell me. I've never seen anything like this. What is the name of that doctor? Well, his name is Jesus Christ, she said. Hallelujah. She was totally restored, have a new life. Something is wrong with your clock. Bob, did you have speeded up or something? No. I could tell you so many miracles. I want you to see that Jesus Christ is the same today. We will conclude the meeting here. Some of you have to go, and the next meeting is coming. But if you have the opportunity to stay after the next meeting, we will take more time to pray for you. But there is someone here. You need to hear that story about the heart. You are here and you have a heart issue. You need to be healed. So where are you? Please come here now. There's also someone that have some kind of tumor in your life. The tumor is not good. You can be healed from that. Up in Vancouver, we had instantly healing from breast cancer. They had tumors, and the doctor had examined them. The day after prayer, there was no tumor. It's happening today. There's someone here with the tumor. You need healing. If you want me to pray for you, please come here. We will conclude the meeting, and maybe a worship can be behind us, some kind of music. Shall we stand up?